והיום לא יינוסם מחר חיידש. יינוסם said to David, tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh, and we will carry out a test. The background is that Shaul HaMelech had once tried to kill David. Another time he had sentenced him to death. But on the other hand, David, Shaul, made a shlu to Yehoshaphat, I won't harm David. And now, they didn't know what to do. So, David said, as I usually attend the Sudas Rosh Chodesh of Shaul, if I absent myself, we will be able to test the temperature of the water, so to speak. If he reacts in a hostile manner to my absence, then I know I have to flee the country. If, on the other hand, he accepts my excuse and takes it easy, then we know that, in fact, his shvua not to harm David will be kept. The question which Rav Shimon Shvab Olav Shalom asks is, why should Rosh Chodesh be different from any other day? There were days when he showed tremendous hostility to David. There were times when he said, oh, David, he's my best friend, etc. So why should Rosh Chodesh be a better guide to what happened before? And he says that in those days, people lived more in accord with nature than they do today. And in those days, Rosh Chodesh meant something special. The Chiddush HaLevona was a message. Be mechadish yourself l'toyv. And that is why we said, not very long ago, Zeman kapora l'chol toyv oisa. Rosh Chodesh is Zeman kapora. Now it's ridiculous to suggest it's a Zeman kapora without teshuva. And therefore in those days, especially in Inyonim Ben Odom L'Chaveiroi, Erev Rosh Chodesh was a Yom HaChesbon. And Yonosan and David were convinced that on that day, Erev Rosh Chodesh, Shaul would review all his actions during the past month and do tshuva and decide that he shouldn't harm David. And that is why the test was exactly when it was, because by Rosh Chodesh you will have done tshuva and we will then be able to react according to his actions. Why do we say it's especially for Inyonim and Odom L'Chaveiroi? Because the Gemara tells us in Chulin that the Soir Chatos on Rosh Chodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, bring it on my behalf. Shemi'afeti es halavono, because I reduced the size of the Levono. And the Gemara tells us what happened. When the world was created, the sun and moon were of the same size. But as you all know, the sun is a source of heat and light, and the moon is not. And the moon complained, Yi'efsha l'shnei melochim l'shtamish b'keser echod. Two kings can't use one scepter. In plain words, if the sun is a source of light and the moon isn't, that's no good. We can't share it. Just to reflect other people's light, no. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the moon, because you complain, you are going to be reduced. And today, the moon is in size far smaller than the sun. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, felt that he has to have a kapora for having diminished the size of the moon, and that's a Seir Chatos Lashem. The question which most people will ask is this: when we look up the sky and we see that the moon is perhaps 1/500th or 1/100th, I don't know exactly measurements, of the much, much smaller than the sun, why can't we accept? Why couldn't Chazal accept that this is how it's been from the very beginning? Why do we have to, say, invent a story, and as a result of the story the moon was diminished? Why not say that's how they were created? In Sedra Nosai, we read about the Chanukas HaMizbeach of Nesiyim. And each Nosi brought a Mizrach and a Tarach, Shnehem Meleim Soilas. They were both full of soilas. Now, if you look in the Midrashim, Medrash Rabbah, or the Targum Yonason, he tells us that the metal of the Karo, which weighed 130 shkolim, was thicker than the metal of the Mizrach, which weighed 70. And the Talmidim of the Gra wanted to know what is the source of this thing. And the Chaim Meloshin told them that in the Gra's Chumash, next to the Targum Yonason, he's written in Ayin Resh Perek Shnei Seirim. They all ran to the Yuma Gemoras and they opened up Perek Shnei Seirim. Nishke Shtoigin and Nishke Flayim. No Mizrach, no Kara, no nothing. So they said to the Chaim Meloshin, what's the pshat? So he said the pshat's quite simple. The Mishnah tells us the two Seirim of Yom Kippur had to be equal in size, its height, colouring, and value. How does the Gemara know that? Because it says Shnei Seirim three times. The question is, so what? The answer is that where the word two is unnecessary, you don't have to have it. For example, the Torah says, the Kohen Gadol takes Seirim. Don't say Shnei, Seirim. One is a Goyer Lashem, and one is a Goyer Lazoveh. I ask you, now how many Seirim are there? Anybody can count, more than one is two. So why does the Torah have to say Shnei Seirim? The answer is, wherever the word Shnei is superfluous, it means equality, the same. Now since the phrase Shnei Seirim occurs three times, they must be the same in three aspects. Now, the Kara weighed 130 shkolim. The Mizrach weighed 70. Shnehem Meleim. It should have said Meleim. Why Shnehem Meleim? We're talking about two objects, a Kara and a Mizrach. There are only two. The word Shnehem is superfluous. So what does it mean? Shnehem Meleim means they were equally full. That means the amount of soilus in one was exactly the same as the amount of soilus in the second one. Now wait a minute. If one weighs 70 and one weighs 130, if the thickness of the metal was the same, then the Kara had almost twice as much as the Mizrach. From there Chazal said, the answer must be that the Kara had much thicker gold, the Mela it weighed more, but the soilless content of the Kara and the Mizrach was the same. With that we understand now what's going on in Agmor in Chulin. The Torah says Rabbi Shem created ma'oros, luminaries. One for the day and one for the night. So I asked Rabbi Shem, how many luminaries are there? And you all tell me one and one is two. So why is it Yivra Elohim Vayas Elohim is Shnei ha-ma'oros? Why say Shnei? It's obvious there are two. Elomai, you have to say they were equal in size. Waiting on a kasha, but look at the heavens, you see they're not equal in size. So the Gemara's answer is Vayas Elohim Mishas Asiya, when they were made they were both packed to the same size. If today one is smaller than the other, there must be a reason, and that is the reason which the Gemara gives. The Gemara in Yuma asks a question about Pesach. Who sinned more grievously? The people of the Mikdash Rishon, they were guilty, Gilu Aroyes, Shvichas Domim, Avodah Zorah, three commandments, and also they didn't keep Shemitah and Yovel. Or the sinners of the Bais Sheni, who were guilty of Sinat Chinam. Who was worse? The Gemara said, well, a very simple answer. The Chatoim of the first Beit HaMikdash was serious, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, but they got it back 70 years later. And there were people at the Chanukah of Bais HaSheni who were there at the time of the Bais Rishon. However, the churban of the Bayis Sheni in the Gemara's time was 500-600 years. Now it's almost 2,000 years. So we haven't got the Beis HaMikdash back. The Beis HaMikdash we lost through Sinas Chinam. So that shows clearly that the Aveiros have been Odom Lechaveiroi are worse than the Odom Lemokai. And that is what Rosh Chodesh is all about. The man Kapora, the Iker Kapora for Aveiros ben Odom Lechaveiroi. And Reb Shimon ends off by saying, in the words of the Novi, Madua loibo ben Yishai gam temoil gam hayoim. Why is ben Yishai, why is the Melech HaMashiach not here? And the answer is, we are not up to standard in our ben Adam lechaveiroi. And when we get there, we won't ask any questions. Mashiach will be here. Everybody knows that we daven every day three times. Now the question is, this mitzvah of tefillah, is it d'oraisa or is it midrabbanan? Now the Rambam in the Sefer Achinuch, they both say tefillah is min ha-Torah, and the source is the Gemara Tanis Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where it says ul avdai b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem eizahu avoido shebaleiv zehu tefillah. Avoido shebaleiv, that is tefillah. Now the Torah hasn't said how many times per day, the Torah hasn't said what part of the day. So it's a mitzvah atzei she'ein hazman gromo, and therefore women are liable. Women have the same chiyuv of tefillah as men. However, at a later date, the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, they formulated the nusach of our tefillah, and they said that we should follow the example of the Ovos, Avrom, Tikkun Shachis, and Yitzchok Mincha, and Yaakov Marev. But the actual tefillah itself is the raisa, and the nusach is midrabbanan. Some people make the mistake of thinking that our tefillah is to replace the korbanos we don't have. Well, that's a load of nonsense, because the tefillahs were made by the Anshei Knesset Gadol who did have korbanos. What they said was that we should match the timing of our tefillahs to the timing of the korbanos. But certainly the two issues, one has nothing to do with the other. Let us examine the koyach of this mitzvah device, the koyach of tefillah. We don't have to go back very far. On Shabbos we read Sefer Shlach Lecha, and we know what happened with the Meraglim. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ovneichem yiyu royim b'midbar arboim shonam. They've been sentenced to wandering round the desert for the next 40 years. Well, 40 years, that includes the 16 or so months from the Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were wandering then. They will continue wandering for the next 40 years. Mochor hanu usulochem. Tomorrow, off you go. Start your wandering tomorrow. Did that happen? No, it didn't. They spent 19 years in Kodesh Barnea and 19 years traveling. So half the Gezeirah's gone. Where's it gone to? When the Yidden heard this terrible Gezeirah, they did Teshuvah and they did Tefillah. They were fellow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, Rabbi Nishlala, we know we're wrong. We regret everything we've done, everything we said. We want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no. I've made a shvua, and the shvua stands. But the gezeira can be halved. And the koyach hatfilah halved the gezeira. And instead of wandering 38 and a bit years, they wandered only for 19. The other 19 years, they stayed put. That shows you the koyach hatfilah. By the way, this comes from the Malbim. Now the Gemara says tefillah is one of these things she'omedes berumo shelaylam uvnei odom zaldolim boim. It's something which is stands on high, but people do not treat it seriously. What does this Ma'amar Chazal mean? I heard the following. I don't know where it comes from. Quite often, unfortunately, we say Tehillim for Achleles. And the Rabbi Shalom evidently didn't accept our tefillah, the Achleles is gone. So most people think, pity, a wasted tefillah. Tefillah for Ploini ben Ploini, and he's dead. No, sir. Oim dem beruma shelaylam. The tefillah stands right up there. It might not have helped this particular person you prayed for, but it's not become bottle. It hasn't vanished into thin air. Oimid baruma shelaylam. It's still there. It didn't help that person, to help somebody else. There's no such thing as tefillah levatola. Tefillahs don't go to waste. If you don't see the fulfillment of your tefillah, that's an avoid from cheshbon. But every tefillah has some effect. Now, we daven for cholim. I wouldn't be surprised if some cholim make the mistake and rely on the tefillahs of others. We are told clearly that tefillahs hacholim for himself is more likely to have an effect than the tefillah of others for him. We see that from Hagar. Hagar davened to the Shrohu for the life of her one and only son, and Yishmael davened for himself, Ayishma Elokim El Koil Hana'ar. And of course, the advantage of davening for other people sincerely is that as a reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers your needs first, because it says Hashem Pokad Es Avraham, and the Chazal tell us there's a rule that where the noun precedes the verb, like Hashem Pokad, it's a pluperfect. Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered, had remembered. The pasuk says Vayir Po Elokim Es Avimelech Hashem Pokad, and Chazal tell us Hashem Pokad happened before Vayir Po. So because Avram sincerely davened for Avimelech, that is why Hashem Pokad became effective even before Vayir Po Elokim Es Avimelech. If you are unselfish, then the bunch looks after you. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he wanted it to be the world center for tefillah. Not only for us, but for the world. And he said to Rabbi Yishalom, please, if a Nochri comes and davens, fulfill his plea. If a Yid comes and davens, fulfill his plea if it's in his interest. Only. A guy has no emunah. And if he davens and nothing happens, there's no Rabbi Yishalom in the belt. Or he doesn't hear my tefillah, or some narishkeit like that. A Yid has emunah. He comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he davens, and nothing happens. He's got emunah b'tochem that although he was mispalel and nothing happened, the Rebbe Shem heard, and the Rebbe Shem decided it's in your interest not to answer the tefillah. Let's just take a simple example. Everybody likes to be wealthy, and this Yid, a poor Yidala, come to Matthew, makes a panosa, he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he davens, Rabbi Shalom, please give me panosa b'shefa. Now Rabbi Shalom knows that if he gives them, he'll go off the rails. Many people, some people can't handle wealth, and this person especially got used to it. All of a sudden you strike it rich, their right way is going to creak away from. So therefore, when you soil, he has his tefillah answered if it's in his benefit, but not otherwise. The koyach tefillah has no borders, no parameters. The Gemara says, I just quoted the Gemara a minute ago, Kanas Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that there are shloisha mafteichos, three keys, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't given over to anybody. One of them is Trias Hameisim. And yet, what do we find? That Eliyahu and Elisha, they both made Kriyas HaMeisim. With what koyach? With the koyach HaTfilah. So it's quite clear in the Nach that it's the koyach HaTfilah which gave them the power which Rabbi Shem never gives to others. But the koyach HaTfilah makes possible things which otherwise be totally impossible. Now, of course, let's make no mistake about it. Eliyahu Hanavi, Elisha Hanavi, they were very great people. No real. But what about the man in the street? How strong is his Koyach HaTfilah? And what about the man who's not in the street? He's our Osher, he's not one of us. Does Rabbi Shem listen to his tefillah or not? Now, we started off with the Shnei Seirim of Yom HaKippurim. Now, the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and when he came out, he said a tefillah ketzara, which we say every year, it's printed in our Machzor, and one part of this tefillah ketzara was HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not listen to the prayers of travellers. In those days they never had cars. If you were travelling this weather and Eretz Yisrael, the rain is a bit stronger than what we're experiencing now. I have a nephew who emigrated to Eretz Yisrael and he said, I didn't take my raincoat with. Why? If it doesn't rain you don't need it, and if it rains it doesn't help. So travellers getting soaked, it's no joke. So there are travellers who will say, Rabbi Shalom, I'm getting soaked, please stop this rain. Hold on a minute. This man is a Rosha Merusha. How selfish can you be? Thousands and thousands of farmers are begging Rabbi Shalom for rain for their crops to grow, and this selfish man says, Rabbi Shalom, I'm getting soaked, please stop the rain. Not Rosha Merusha. But he doesn't. And Rabbi Shalom might well listen to his tefillah. So the Kohen Gadol had to counteract. Please, Rabbi Shalom, do not accept the tefillah of Ovrei Drachim at the time when we need rain. So you see that however evil a person is, however selfish, but he's got the Koyach HaTfilah. He doesn't lose it. And the Kohen Gadol had to counteract it. But that is even the tefillah of Roshoyim. Now what do Chazal tell us about the tefillah of Tzadikim? The Shmuch who tells us that the Shmuch who misavah the tefillosom shel Tzadikim. HaKadosh Shmuch has a tavah, a desire, a strong desire to hear the tefillah of the Tzadikim, and that explains why the Imois were all Akorois. HaKadosh Shmuch who wanted Avram to daven, he wanted Yitzchok to daven, he wanted Yaakov to daven for Rachel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avlet philosophy tzaddikim. The question is though, what for? Rabbi Shem is short of tefillah, he needs them. What's he doing? Now the Malbim gives the answer in a moshel. He says you go into an orchard, apples growing in this orchard, every tree has apples, but one tree is very special. The apples are bigger and there are more of them and they have a better taste. So you ask the farmer, Mai Shuno, Mani Shtano. So the farmer says, ah, now you're asking questions. You have come 6 months before, you know the answer. I look after this tree better than others. It's my favorite tree. I water it more, I prune it better, I give it more, whatever the farmers have to give their crops. I really look after this. It's my favorite tree. So, Manela, the Hachonus, the preparation is everything. The Rebbein Yisraelim wanted our ovis to produce very special fruit, and for that you need to fill it. If a couple get married and Baruch Hashem after a year or so they have a baby, Mazel Tov, very happy, wonderful, but because the laws of nature acted quickly they weren't responsible for this child. No, this is how things go. If you really desperate want it, a bunch of them doesn't let you have it for years on end. Oi, 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 you put filler into it. Is that is just as in the material world, the end product depends on how much effort you put into it, so it is in the world of Ruchnias. The end product, the tzaddik, comes as a result of major efforts of tefillah. Now you can see how this worked with Avraham. He only had one Yitzchak. Yishmael and the others were not like that. Yitzchak was mispalo 20 years, it says, and that produced a Yaakov. Leah had children as soon as Yaakov married her, but Rachel didn't. So he was mispalo. She was mispalo. So what were the results of the tefillah? There was Yosef and Binyamin, the two greatest tzaddikim this world ever saw. Yosef, a tzaddik, now is not the time to talk about his great tzedkas, but you all know. Binyamin, the Gemara says, was one of the four people who lived a natural lifespan without ever having done one single aveira. To produce such tzaddikim, you need tefillah. And we find Leah, when she married Yaakov, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, one after the other. And it says, Vatamoid Miledes. So what did she do? She doesn't. And who was born next? Yisachar. Yisachar produced the greatest Talmid Chachamim, we're told in Divrei Hayomim, 200 Rosh Sanhedrios, they all came from Shevet Yisachar. Is the chus of what? The chus of the Tzedek. Gadol, Gadol, Shemayra.